Good morning, everyone. Today's daf and nazir is Yud Tes. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Shmuel. Two more 8 days to go within the third paragraph of the Masechta. We are in the middle of having a discussion of the Gemara regarding resumption of Naziris. Our discussion has been, and will continue to be over the course of today, a person's a Nazir, becomes Tameh, and now he needs to reboot. And that restarting of the Naziris is a function of the fact that his Tumah removed all the days that he counted up until this point in time. Those days get now totally stricken off the record. He's got to be Metari himself, and then he reboots. And as we know, the Tahara process of a regular Tumas Mace requires 7 days. And for the Nazir, it's going to be one more day because he's got to bring Karbanos on day 8. Discussion that we had in the Gemara, debate that we had in the Gemara in terms of when exactly does he get to restart his Naziris. Your options are actually 4 separate options in the Gemara. Not options, but opinions. In the Gemara, in terms of when exactly you get to reboot, we're going to go over those opinions in just a moment. Also, another big discussion that we've been having over the course of this perek has been a Nazir B'Tumah, meaning what if the origination of his Nazir started while he was Tameh? So basically, the halachas come out to be the same, with one notable difference, in that if he started his Naziris B'Tumah, so right, the almost comical, ironic scenario where he's standing in a cemetery and he says, "I'm going to be a Nazir," while in a cemetery. Okay, so in such a scenario, so again, first we had a discussion and debate in the Gemara whether or not his Nazir starts at all, but the Gemara says we didn't resolve that debate, but we concluded like Rav Yochanan that his Nazir started. He's a Nazir. In fact, he's a Nazir for all intent and purpose. He cannot drink wine, get a haircut, or go to a cemetery, even though he currently is in a cemetery. But in other words, he's subject to all the regulations, rules and regulations of a Nazir. But of course, now he can't count because he's in a state of Tumah. The only difference between a Nazir B'Tumah and the case of a Nazir who started B'Tahara and becomes Tameh is the Karbanos. He doesn't bring the Karbanos. The Gemara cited Psukim, the Darshan, why that should be, but he doesn't bring Karbanos on day 8. So for him, the Gemara said, there's no issue, there's no question that he's going to jumpstart, he's going to reboot his Nazirus on day 7, because there's nothing else, meaning there is no day 8. But for the regular Nazir, he's going to bring Karbanos. So when does he reboot, when does he restart? So once again, as we pointed out, this is a Machlokas. Okay, so your opinions range from either it starts again on day 7, meaning even though the Karbanos are brought on day 8, but the Torah describes by Yamahu, although as we mentioned yesterday, we looked at the Pesukim yesterday, and the Pesukim don't really read well within this Pshat. But the Gemara says it's a drasha, it's imenu inyan, it's superfluous words by Yamahu. So, but anyway, but the first opinion is that you already get to start counting on day 7, which means that day 7 now, you're Tahor. Now, and again, we already point this out as well, but it's always worthwhile reiterating. You're not really Tahor on day 7 either. Meaning on day 7, you're concluding your Tahara. Meaning it's only the night after day 7, after Harav Shemesh, that you're fully Tahor. But we pointed out, we quoted Tosfos already a number of times, quoted again, that on day 7 you have a Tumah Klisha, you have a weakened form of the Tumah, so therefore, according to one opinion, you can already start counting your Naziris again on day 7. That's opinion number 1. Another opinion in the Gemara is, no, day 8. Day 8, why? Because that's the day that you bring Karbanos. Even if you didn't bring your Karbanos yet, but day 8 still is the day after day 7. It's the Pshuto Shel Mikra of Bayomahu. So day 8 is when you can start counting. Now, when exactly on day 8? So we had a discussion. The Gemara had just a couple of lines. Maybe the evening of day 8, maybe the day of day 8. But either way, day 8 is another opinion. And then opinions 3 and 4 is that it's really contingent on the Karbanos. Again, we know, we went over the Pesukim yesterday, but when a Nazir now is finishing up his Tumah, on day 8 he's going to bring 3 Karbanos, 2 birds and an animal. The 2 birds are a Chatos and an Ola, and the animal's an Asham. So as we learned yesterday, according to the 3rd and 4th opinion, his ability to restart his Naziris is going to be contingent on the bringing of the Karbanos. One opinion is that only until he brings a Chatos, and another opinion is, no, he's got to bring the Chatos and the Asham. Then and only then can he restart his Naziris. Okay, so we have 4 opinions in the Gemara on the table in terms of when exactly he has the ability to start his count anew. We're going to start in the Gemara. We're going to go from the middle of the Amud with the words Gufa. We did this yesterday, but it's just it's the beginning of a sentence. It's a good place to start. Yud Ches Amud Beis, right in the middle where the Gemara says the word Gufa. Just as a parenthetical note, the word Gufa usually means we're going to return back to a issue that we discussed previously, and we're going to explore it a little bit more. That's not really the case over here. Tosfos says that he would prefer the Gufa not be part of the Girsa of our Gemara. So, because it doesn't follow the normal flow of the Gemara where we're actually going back to a previous point. This is a relatively new point. Okay, anyway, Gufa. Nidma b'shu v'chaz v'nidma b'shu yinu mevi ala karban echad. Okay, you become tame on the seventh day, you then become tame again on the seventh day. So as we pointed out, this Nazir's luck is just not the best. So every time he gets to the seventh day of his tama, of his, I should say, tahara process, so he becomes tame again. So any may be a carbon echad, so you only bring one carbon. Because, as we discussed yesterday, that's just simply one long extended tuma. If you're not able to start counting again, it means you're still in that state of tuma. Nidma b'shini v'chaz v'nidma b'shmini. However, if you become tame on day 8, maybe carbon al kolecha v'echad. Maschol amon amiyah, divrei Rebbe Eliezer. And that, but if you come tame on day 8, so now, because you've entered into day 8, and because day 8 is already now the beginning of your new nazir, so you can start counting now on day 8, so therefore, if you become tame on day 8, so oddly enough, your luck is even worse. Because now, you're going to have to bring a carbon for every tumah that you went through, because you keep having to reboot again and again and again, but you did start your new nazirus, therefore every new tumah is going to demand a new carbon. We pointed out yesterday, but I'll say it again today, we have Divrei Rebbe Eliezer. In our Gears of the Gemara, it says these are the words of Rebbe Eliezer, but Tosfos points out that that's a little bit difficult, because we also know that according to Rebbe Eliezer, you only need to bring your carbon tumah only if you started counting the zeros 2 days. Over here, we're describing a guy who he keeps getting tummy on day 8, which means how many days of Nazirus did he become tummy? Only one. I'm sorry. How many days did he count Nazirus? Only 1 day, not 2 days. So Tosfos struggles with this, and we pointed out yesterday the Gaon takes out the word Eliezer. And so therefore, it's Divrei Rebbe. Okay, and the Gaon says once you have that as a girsa, so then all these problems fall away. So Divrei Rebbe, v'chachamim omrim karben echad al kol ad she'avo chataso. So and the Chachamim say no, that if you become tame on day 8, it's still an extension of the previous tama, and it's not going to, you're not going to be able to start counting your nazirus anew until you bring your carbon chatas. Carbon echad al kol ad she'avi chataso, hevi chataso v'nidma v'hevi chataso v'nidma, mevi carbon al kol echad v'echad. Okay, good. Now, according to the Chachamim, once you bring your carbon chatas, now you can start your new nazirus. If you become tame after you bring your carbon chatas, okay, that's a new tama going to demand it's a new set of carbonos. Hevi chataso v'lo hevi hashamo mona. If you brought your carbon chatas, but you didn't bring your carbon asham, you still get to count. Because according to the Chachamim, the chatas is what's holding you back from rebooting, from starting your nazirus anew. But it's only the chatas, it's not the carbon asham. And Rabbi Shmo ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka omer, kishem shechataso ikvaso kenashmo ma'akvo. And then finally, the fourth opinion in the bigger discussion of when are you allowed to start counting anew, the Rabbi Yishmael says that it is when you bring your carbon chatas and your carbon asham. Okay, so that is your range of opinions in the amongst the Tanayim when you can start counting anew. Gemara now goes on to explore Bishlam al Rabbi. Now, according to the Gaon, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to take out the word Eliezer. So Bishlam al Rabbi, I'm a Karavi Kiddushes Rosh Yamahu. Afa Bishlo Hevi Karbon Asaf. So the Rabbi's position is, as we pointed out, we'll say it again, the simplest way to read the Pesukim. It says, the Torah says, Bayamahu. Bayamahu, you look at the Pesukim, look at the context of the Pesukim, and you'll see, Bayamahu is a reference to day 8. Right? It's harder to read it as day 7. Okay, good. So, day 8, and meaning specifically, day 8. Nothing to do with the Karbanos, as long as you simply get to the day where you could bring Karbanos, so now you can start your Nazirus anew. Alpha Pishalahevi Karbanosav, so good. So, Rebbe's position is easy to defend. V'rabbananahu Alpha Pishalahevi Hashemo. And the Chachamim say, yeah, you know the word Hahu? Hahu is a mead. It is a limitation. You know what's coming to tell me? That even if I don't bring my carbon asham, I still could start counting anew. Ela Rabbi Yishmael Hu Lamali. But according to Rabbi Yishmael, let's consider. Rabbi Yishmael says you can only start counting your Nazirus anew when you get to the eighth day, you bring your carbon chatas, you bring your carbon asham. Basically, you got to do everything. Basically, there are the one carbon he didn't mention, which we're going to get to in just a second. But basically, you got to do everything. So, according to Rabbi Shmuel, why do I need the extra pasuk of Hahu Bayom Hahu? It's a limitation. Well, what is it coming to limit? What is it? What is it excluding? So, Hahu Afapish Lo Hevi Olah So. So, conspicuously absent from his carbonas that you need to bring in order to jumpstart your nazirus is the carbonola. Okay, so in other words, Bayom Hahu is telling me that you brought your chatas, you brought your ashim, even if you haven't brought your ola yet, you're good. Meaning, you still have to bring your carbonola, but you can now start your nazirus anew. V'rabanan. Now, how do you counter that? How do you counter that point? Ola lo bay miyuta doron be'alma hu. And the Chachamim will counteract that position by saying, wait a second. Intuitively, I can understand that a chatas and ashim are holding him back. Because let's consider, what happened? He's a Nazir, and he becomes Tameh. So, as we'll discuss later this morning, but we already know, his Nazirus already was maybe, perhaps, in the realm of a mistake, or something he shouldn't have done. And then, he compounded. He now becomes Tameh while being a Nazir. Okay. So, he needs Kapara. So, intuitively, we understand. You want to start your Nazirus anew, you got to bring your Karban Chatas, because Chatas is Mechaper. And you got to bring your Karban Ashim, because Ashim is also Mechaper. Okay, and now, what about the carbonola? Now, the Torah obviously requires you to do so. But we don't have a model, a prototype of an ola that serves as a kapara. The ola's job, generally speaking, is daron. It's a gift. Now, here it's a little bit funny to call it a gift because the Torah is instructing you, right? It's the kind of gift where you're told to give the gift. But categorically, we know that the ola basically serves as daron ba'alma. So I don't need the Torah to tell me, you know, you could start counting in Nazirus even though you didn't bring the ola. We would have figured that out. What the ola is not holding back his, it's not serving as a kapara for his mistake. So that's the Chachamim's response back to Rabbi Shmuel. So let's go back to the Gemara. So my tama de rabbanan. So now the Gemara says, now what's behind the position of the Chachamim? The Tanya, the Gemara quotes the following brisa. Okay. So the Torah says again, back to the pesukim. You become a nazir to Akash Baruch Hu, es yemen Yisro, and then followed by, and you bring your carbon asham. Because generally speaking, an asham is there to provide kapara. And until you brought your carbon asham, you're not going to be mechaper. So, without the construct of the psukim, I would have said very simply, you can't start counting again until you bring your carbon asham. The chatas is a given. Obviously, you need the chatas, but you also need the asham. That's what I would have thought. Therefore, the Torah is going out of its way to tell me over here, you become a nazir again, and oh, by the way, you have to bring your carbon asham. This is an exception to the general rule. Tamid lomer, top of your testament olive, v'yizir v'hevi, alfa pisha lo hevi, hezir. Even if you didn't bring your carbon ashram yet, so you still start your nazirus. That's how the Chachamim are going to darsh in the pasuk. So, meaning, without the pasukim, I would have thought, I have to bring a chatas, I have to bring an ashram, then and only then could I start counting my nazirus again. Torah is going out of its way to tell me, no, for whatever reason, as best as we can understand it, the ashram over here is not holding him back from starting anew. Rabbi Shmuel, Benosha Rav Yochanan ben Broka Omer. Now, according to Rabbi Shmuel, obviously he disagrees. He thinks that the chatas and the ashram are essential in order for him to start counting anew. What does he do with the psukim? So the Gemara says he'll tackle the psukim in the following way. So, Omer Vehezir Vehevi, Emasai Hezir, Bizman Shevi. Right? We often find this in the psukim where sometimes the Torah is giving us an instruction either of what to do or state of being. Over here, the Torah is telling us, yeah, you know when he can start his Nazirus? When he has brought his Asham. Meaning, after having brought the Asham, even though the order of the psukim are the other way around. The order of the psukim is, he's a Nazir and he brings his Asham. But the way Rabbi Shmuel reads the psukim is, no, he's a Nazir as long as he brought his Asham. That's his reading of the psukim. Okay, period.
What is it? Is it Fatat? And then what is the Asham for?
Again, we would have said very simply, it's also part of the kapara. Meaning, again, I could try, but I'd be guessing. I can't pinpoint exactly, you know, what aspect of what he did wrong is handled by the chatas, and what aspect of what he did wrong is handled by the asham. That I don't know, but we know the categories. Chatas and asham are there to provide kapara. That's throughout. So over here, without the drushas, I would have said, you know, you want to get over your tumah? You want to put the tumah behind you? You got to bring a chatas and asham. That's what we would have said. And to that, the Gemara says, for reasons which, I can't articulate, maybe the asham over here is a different...
Yeah. It's special for
Chatas, not in general. No, right. Chatas is not even open for discussion. Meaning Chatas obviously is there for Kapara.
But what is wrong with the Hashem?
Okay, I hear you. I don't know how to articulate. Okay, Mantan Lahad Tana Rabbanan. Okay, four lines down, when you test them at Aleph, the Gemara now wants to know, can we give authorship to the following Braisa? Isha Shanadra Benazir Venitma. So a woman becomes a Nazir and she becomes Tmeya. Okay, so she's not having good success with her Naziris. And what happens? Her husband, well, before we get to the next part of the Gemara, it'll be clear because just from the context of the Braisa, and she already set aside Karbanos to bring to the Beis HaMikdash. All the while her husband didn't know. I don't know how the communication is going in that family, because at this point in time she's been a Nazir for... She set aside the karbanos. I guess she could have set them aside well before she becomes tahara. Okay. Anyway, the achar ka chefer labala. Okay. Whatever the case is, whatever the time was, husband hears about it. So as we learned, we spent the last three prakim and masechta nadarim learning. So now he's got either a day or 24 hours. Machlok is back in the end of nadarim, but he's got, let's just simply say, a day. He's got a day in which he can be made for the neder. So chefer labala. Husband was made for the neder. Okay. In other words, that's it. I have the power. The Torah empowered the husband to annul the neder. Naziris is a neder. Good. What do you do with the karbanos you already set aside? Okay. You let them graze. Well, right now we're talking about birds. So that... let them fly. So mevia chatas ha'of, ve'eno mevia olas ha'of. So the Braisa says, very interesting, very interesting position. She should bring a chata, she should not bring her ola. Okay.
Sounds like the opposite.
Okay. So let's analyze. Okay.
What about the Asham?
Yeah. So oddly enough, Alex, throughout this whole discussion, and the Gemara is going to discuss this for, you know, 5-10 more lines. The Asham is not. I don't know. Let me put it simply, the Asham is not here. Meaning, for whatever reason, the Chatas and the Ola is being described, and you're right. The Asham should be part of the discussion. It's not? Okay, anyway. And maybe through the course of the Gemara's discussion, we can guess. You know, we'll give an educated guess. But in the meantime, however, bring the Chatas, but don't bring the Ola. Okay, who is that? Meaning, whose authorship of the is that? So I'm Rav Chista, Rabbi Shmalhi. So Rav Chista posits the following. I think the author of that brace is Rabbi Shmal. Because, what did we learn earlier? According to Rabbi Shmal... So according to Rabbi Shmuel, the chatas and the asham are essential. Meaning, she became tamei or tamea, to speak grammatically correct, and now she needs to be mechaper. So how is her kapara going to work? She needs to bring a karban. To which the Gemara says, let's slow down, because we're not following this discussion. Right. So my kasava, the Gemara says, I'm not getting it. So the Gemara says, wait a second. The husband annulled the neder. Now, we talked about this back in the Dharma, and we get to explore this again right now. When the husband does a farah, let's take one step backwards. When a Talmud Chacham is matir neder, so what does he do? He goes back to the point of origination, to the time that you made the neder, and he says, if you knew at that time X, Y, and Z, would you have made the neder? And you say no, and again, assuming an open and honest discussion, so the husband. Yes. The Talmud Chacham is matir the neder, meaning uproots it from the point of origination, lo haya. Didn't exist. Okay, good. Now we go to the husband. Torah empowers and gives the right for the husband to knock off his wife's nedarim. But what does that mean? Is he going back at the core? Is he going back to the root? or is he cutting it from this point moving forward? So the Gemara says, now let's consider. So So if the way that Hafara works is that it uproots it from the point of origination, so that means that she's not only not a Nazira right now, she never was a Nazira, meaning he totally expunged from the record. So if that's true, there should be absolutely no karbanos, period. So chatas of lalaisi, don't bring the chatas, don't bring the old, don't bring anything. She's not a nazira. And ikas of rabba megas gayas. Now, if the way it works that what the husband does is only from here going forward, no longer nazira. Meaning it's odd, but she was a nazira up until when the husband heard it and did a zafara. Now going forward, you're no longer nazira. Okay, that's the nature of hafara. If that's the nature of hafara, what does that mean? It means that we're going to go over. She has don't take me super literally. She has a criminal record. It has not been expunged off the books. Meaning, right? She was a nazira. She became tamea while being a nazira. Okay, she has got a criminal record. She's got to bring her kabanos. But if she's got to bring her kabanos, she's got to bring all her kabanos. So ikas of ba megas gai is olas of nami laisi. So she should have to bring all her kabanos. So laolam kasav ba meyakar akar. So the Gemara says no. The way that hafar works is that it uproots it from the point of origination. Okay, and if that's true, aren't we back to square one? So that means then that she wasn't a zero. That means that she shouldn't have brought a karban at all. So Rabbi Shmuel, Savra la ki Rabbi Lazar kafar. So the Gemara says, and as far as Rabbi Shmuel is concerned, in this particular case, why would it be that this woman has to bring a karban chatas, especially considering the fact that she wasn't a zero, because hafara expunges. So how does that work? So the Gemara says that he holds like Rabbi Lazar kafar. We've seen this line, Rabbi Lazar kafar, many times over. I guess this would be in all the times in Shas. You can look on the side of the Gemara. We mentioned it early in the Masechta. We're mentioning it later in the Masechta. But Bakam and Adarim Tanish Shvi. I'm sorry, Shvu Sota. Okay, it comes up often. And we know what's coming up in the Gemara. I guess this is in all of our Masechta. This is probably the most appropriate time to mention it. It just it fits into our discussion. Fits into the Masechta. Detanya Rabbi Lazar Kafar Rabbi Omer. Matar Malam Vechiper Alav Me'asher Chatal Nefesh. Why does the Nazir need Kapara? Meaning, what did he or she do wrong? Vechiper Ezer Nefesh Chatazeh. What sin are we talking about? So you know what the sin was? The sin is asceticism. I think I said it right this time. So, okay, good. So in other words, the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the world. And what we're supposed to do is enjoy the world that we live in. And eat and drink, and obviously not in excess, but enjoy it. He gave it to us. And obviously with limitation, but that's called the Torah. Okay, good. But we're supposed to enjoy it. And over here, person says, you know, I can't handle it. I need to abstain from wine. No, that's not what Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted us to enjoy. So, Shetzir Atzma Menayayin. So, V'kav HaChomer, Umazesh, Lotzir Atzma Lemenayayin, Nikra Chote, HaMitzar Atzma, we call Davar Alachas Kama V'kama. And then the Gemara just takes the opportunity to use this as a general point. Look, the Nazir, it was only one abstention. It's just an abstention from wine. And meanwhile, the Torah describes him as a chote. Imagine a person lives such an ascetic life where I don't want to get involved in this, and I don't want to enjoy this, and I don't want to try that. So the Gemara says, "Alchas kama v'kama," meaning you're a chote. You need to enjoy the world. It's part of living. So so what the Gemara now is arguing is that this woman over here was not a nazira. Her husband took her nazirus and wiped it off the record. His ability to be mefer is an ability that's ma'akir. It uproots it from the point of origination. And so now, asking the question, but now having an answer. Asking the question, so why did she have to bring a carbon chatos? When all said and done, what did she do wrong? So the answer is that she became a nazir. Meaning, yes, it's off the books. But the idea that she even took it upon herself, that already has an element of chay to it, and therefore she has to bring carbon chatzis to be mechaper for that. Okay.
Why not Hashem?
Well,
no, it's part of it. It's part of it.
Yeah, who's he quote? He quotes. Okay, fine. No. The Rishonim. What does the Rishonim say that when we say chatzis, Hashem is included in the. Okay, I assumed as much, but I didn't know. Okay, so
later was made immediately. Mm-hmm. Well, she had time to even drink wine, then she shouldn't bring any.
Okay. I mean, the Avera is just simply taking on the Naziris. That's, you know,
it seems that way.
So the Gemara says, now, all this is well and good, and we've seen this again multiple times, and we're going to see it again coming up in the Masechta. Good. But the Gemara says, but I'll tell you what. We quoted a pasuk describing the Nazir being Echote. Go back to the Pesukim, reread the Pesukim again, and now the Gemara is going to make this point. Did you notice that when the Torah describes the Nazir as being a Chote, that's not in the context of just being a Nazir. That's in the context of a Nazir becoming Tameh. Then the Torah says, now you're a Chote. So, how come Rabbi Lazar is using this as a launching pad for, you know, whenever you become a Nazir, you're a Chote? That's not exactly what the Pesukim say. The Gemara says, V'ha ben Nazir Tameh Ksiv. Good. Took the Gemara only four words to articulate that question, but good. I gave you a little bit of background. And meanwhile, Rabbi Lazar is applying it to the general idea of being a Nazir. Rabbi Lazar says, no, look, here's the way I see it. The way I see it is that you become a Nazir or Chote. Period. Done. Why does the Torah use the word Chote specifically by the Nazir becomes Tameh? Because not only did he sin, but he sinned. In other words, you shouldn't have been a Nazir to begin with. Now, look at you. You became a Nazir, and now you become Tameh, Shana Bechet. So you're a repeat offender. You've compounded your problems. So the Torah there expresses itself with the word Chote. But Rabbi Lazar says, but really the truth of the matter is that even becoming a Nazir by itself is considered a Chote.
Can you bring the Chatas even if you don't become Tameh at the end of this year, so?
That's correct. Right. But that's true, but the Torah doesn't use the word Chote. Okay.
But it's a good question. If a regular Nazir without any Tuma as well, would he bring the Asham also?
No, in other words, no. The Torah, the Asham is only for becoming Tameh. But for the, no.
Could be.
All right. But he also brings a chatas as well. And that chatas is not for being...
It's for being Nazir.
It's hard to... I'll tell you why it's hard to argue that, because at the end of his Naziris, meaning when he starts counting again and he gets to the end of Naziris, he's going to bring a chatas again for finishing his Naziris.
So,
Okay, good. All right, meantime, the famous statement to Rav Elazar Kafar, we know this already. It's worthwhile. It's always worthwhile. The Rambam develops a lot of his Hilchos Deos based on Rav Elazar Kafar, meaning the statement to the Gemara of Rav Elazar Kafar, the Rambam uses it as basically advice for life. Meaning the Rambam says that where should you be in the path of life? So you should be right in the middle. The Shvil HaZahav, the golden path of life, where you should be in no point in any, you should be fundamentalist on no issue. Not on no issue. Two issues that Rambam says you should be a fundamentalist on. Gaiva and Kas. Right? Arrogance and anger. Arrogance and anger, Rambam says you need to be a fundamentalist. But not the way the world understands fundamentalism. Fundamentalism over here means you should never be angry. and Gaiva means you should never, you have no arrogance whatsoever. There you should be all the way, you should be an extremist. But otherwise, Rambam says you should never be an extremist. You should always be somewhere in the middle. Not too generous, not too stingy. In other words, you need to have a balanced existence in life. And so that the Rambam uses this position of Rav Elazar Kafar as basically a launching pad. Rambam says you live an ascetic life. That's not what the Torah wants. Torah doesn't want us to be fasting all the time. The Torah wants us to enjoy the world. Again, not in excess, because then you're on the other side. Not a minimalist. You have to find a balance in life, and that's the Rav Elazar Kafar. And on the other side, yeah, I mean, he doesn't say that, but yeah. unfair question. I mean, not an unfair question, but you know, I don't know. Okay, I don't know. So what the Rambam would say about that. So on the other side of the issue is the Ramban. The Ramban and Chumash says no. Ramban says there's something to be said about a person who exists in this world a little bit more of a minimalist attitude of I could do without this, I could do without that. The Ramban notes that the Torah describes the Nazir as being a Kadosh. He's a holy individual. So what about the Chatzis that comes at the end? So Ramban says, the Karmel Chatzis that comes at the end, that's because he stopped being a Nazir, right? It's a flip on the whole Karmel Chatzis. In other words, you were doing great. You were being a Nazir, and then what do you do? Came to an end. Now you're re-entering the world, so to say.
That's
correct. Well, he does bring the Karbanos when he trims his hair. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, in the realm of the Rishonim, you also have so to say a machlokus on the general position of good or bad to be a nazir. Let's go to the Gemara in Yotzeh Aleph. We're halfway down in the Amud. Yotzeh v'nichnas olam in a minyan. The Mishnah made a point. Now, if you read the Mishnah literally, it obviously made no sense. The Mishnah says you're in a cemetery, you declare yourself to be a nazir. Okay, you're a nazir. You can't start counting because your tummy. The Mishnah then goes on to say, you walk out of the cemetery, you walk back into the cemetery, okay, now you're good. The literal reading of the Mishnah obviously makes no sense. When you walk out of the cemetery, you walk back in, you're just as tummy. You know, nothing changed. So Yatsa v'nichnas olam and aminyan, ketani olam and aminyan, mishum di yatsa, chal aleha nazirus. Gemara says, how can that be? Just by walking out of the cemetery, you now can start counting your nazirus? That can't be. Amar Shmuel kagon, shiyatza v'hiza v'shana v'taval. So Shmuel gives the only explanation of the Mishnah, and that is correct. Right? You walked out of the cemetery, but then you went through the process of tahara. You sprinkled with the paradum on day 3. Repeated the sprinkling on day 7. You toveled the mikvah on day 7. And then you go back into the cemetery. But prior to doing... But, oh, okay. I understand that, but with no other pshat in the Mishnah, then the Mishnah is just simply unreadable.
Right.
Now that we can read the Mishnah, your point is good. Now it's obvious. But so who do olin lo min aminyan? Lo nichnas in olin lo min aminyan. So the Gemara says now, even within Shmuel's pshat, does he mean to say that you'll start counting if you walk back to the cemetery? And that means that if you don't walk back to the cemetery, you don't start counting? So lo mi bai kamar, and again, we kind of know this, but the Gemara spells it out. The style of the Mishnah is, it goes without saying, lo mi bai yatzei alaf ilo nechnas on lo min aminyan. It goes without saying that, but we'll say it. It goes without saying that once you leave the cemetery and you go through the Tahara process, you can count your Naziris. And if you go back into the cemetery, you'll lose it, but at least you have the ability to count in the interim. So Amalei Rav Kahana Rav Asi LeRav Mai Tamalom Mefarsh LeKahala Mili. So now Rav Kahana Rav Asi turned to the Rebbe. Their Rebbe was Rav, and they say to Rav, we have these Mishnayos, and this Mishnah forever just bothered us. Like, we didn't know how to read the Mishnah. Right, Mishnah Nazir, third parak of Nazir, talking about a guy in a cemetery declaring himself to be a Nazir, and the Mishnah says, you walk out, you come back in, and you count your days. And we didn't know how to read that Mishnah. Now, hard to understand what they thought might be a pshat in the Mishnah, but we didn't. They're admitting we didn't know. And meanwhile, Shmuel, right, your counterpart over there in Nahar Dah, meanwhile, he's saying Shir, he's saying over this Mishnah Nazir, he's explaining to the Talmidim. So Rav Kahana Rav Asi turned to Rav and they say, how come you didn't tell us that? And Rav's answer is, I'm alone, I'm in a Duma, Lotz Rechisu. Rav said, you never asked. I didn't know this would be difficult for you. I thought it was obvious. And sometimes, a perfect example of miscommunication, meaning, like, I thought it was obvious, you didn't think it was obvious. If you needed to, of course I would have told you that's the Pshat in the Mishnah. It's the only Pshat. You could be creative, I'm sure, and come up with another Pshat, but it's really the only Pshat in the Mishnah, and I just didn't know that you needed it. Okay, Rav Elazar Amar Lo Bo Bayom. Shenemar V'Yamim Rishonim Yipul Ashiyu Yamim Rishonim. And finally, now as we wrap up this Mishnah, and now we're at the tail end of the Mishnah. We are quoting from the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah takes us all the way back to Tazinam and Beis. The Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Lo Bo Bayom, meaning, you started counting one day of Nazirs. You went into the cemetery. Obviously, now you're tummy. You're gonna obviously have to become tahor again, in order to start counting, but you don't bring your carbon tumah. Because you need a minimum of 2 days in order to bring a carbon tumah. Why? Torah says so. Hayamim harishonim. The first days are going to fall. So by virtue of the fact that the Torah says yamim rishonim, so he understands that super literally, that it means that you have to have days in order to go through the process of being metal yourself and the carbonus at the end. Obviously, if you had 1 day, you're still going to have to be metal yourself, otherwise you can't count your nazirus, but you're not going to go through the carbonus. That is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Amar ula lo amar Rabbi Eliezer ela betamish anazar. Ula would like to try to limit this halacha of Rabbi Eliezer. From here until the Mishnah, which is coming up towards the end of today's daf, the Gemara is going to have a discussion all around Rabbi Eliezer. Now, truth be told, is that a lot of times in the Gemara, we're going to have discussions that revolve around opinions that are not halacha. The first sugya in Masechet Nida, just one that comes readily to my head. So there, Beis Shammai has an opinion, and the Gemara spends a lot of time analyzing the opinion of Beis Shammai, and it's not an accepted opinion. So it's not unusual for a Gemara to discuss a position which is not la halacha. But interestingly enough, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Eliezer from the Mishnah. Some say that the reason why the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Eliezer is because the Gemara now is going to be spending so much time on the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Now again, that in of itself is not always by itself. That's not a compelling argument because again, you've been around long enough learning enough Gemara. So this is not unusual, but it's just an interesting note. And Hedy, I beat you to the punch. I told you halacha goes like Rabbi Eliezer. Although I'll tell you the truth, I'm giving the simplified version of the Rambam. There's a tricky part to the Rambam in terms of him adopting the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, but after the daf, I'll explain to you where the problem lies. So anyway, so Amar Ula Lo Amar Rabbi Eliezer Ela Betamish Anazar. Ula says that, you know this halacha Rabbi Eliezer, that you need 2 days in order to have the obligation of bringing all your karbanos? That's only a Nazir Betuma, meaning only about the very unusual scenario where he takes on Nazirus while being Tamei. Aval. B'Nazir Tarash Nid Ma'afilo Yamechat Soser. But if I have a quote-unquote regular Nazir, meaning started with Tahara, and then becomes Tamei, then even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that even 1 day would be Soser, meaning that you'd have to go through the Tahara process and bring Karbonos at the end. Okay, so Amar Rava. So Rava says, my time at Rabbi Eliezer. No, what's the reason behind Rabbi Eliezer? Meaning, Rava's going to argue with Ula. No, there's no limit to the halacha of Rabbi Eliezer. Because look, Amar Kra Ki Tamei Nizro. Mishum de Betuma Nazar. So this is in defense of Ula. I'm sorry, the Gemara in just a moment is going to go the other way, but right now we're defending Ula. So my time to Rav Elazar, I'm a crack, he tamin nizro, because he started his nazirus in a state of tumah. Shem de betumah nazar, eitz ve'abai. So here Abai challenges harein nazar me'ayam. Okay, we're going to go over a number of scenarios. Scenario number one, he says he's going to be nazir 400 days. V'nidma b'tchilas me'ayam, and what happens is he becomes tamei in the very beginning. Yachli yitzos the tamer lama v'yamim rishonim yiplu. Ashiulo yamim rishonim. V'zein lo rishonim. Okay, you need multiple days in the beginning. Multiple, we mean two. You need 2 days. 1 day is not enough. Nidma b'sof me'am. Let's say he becomes tamer at the end of the 100. Yachli yitzos the tamer lama v'yamim rishonim yiplu. Mechlal de'ika achronim. And not only do you need Rishonim, but you also need Achronim, meaning that it's only going to be Soser if there are days at the end. So these halachas of Stira only require days in the beginning, days at the end. V'zein lo Achronim.
What do you mean by days at the end?
Meaning there has to be at least 2 days at the end. So nidma biyom me'achaser achas yachol yesoser. What if he gets tummy on day 99? Again, this person adopted a nazirus of 100 days, and he gets tummy now on day 99. So there are 2 days remaining, part of day 99 and day 100. So there, yachol yesoser tamalom yemin rishonim yiplum mechaldik achronim v'zeh yeshlo rishonim v'achronim. So he had days in the front and days in the back end. So now it's soser, meaning he's going to have to go through the entire process and bring the karbanos. Now look at that braisa, you read the beginning of the braisa again, and you realize, what's the braisa describing? It's describing a guy who started off as nazirus b'tahara, and then and only then becomes tamei. So clearly, what are we discussing? We're discussing the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, because we're on the drasha of Rishonim, and meanwhile we're describing a guy who started off with tahara and then becomes tamei. So Ula, your limitation doesn't seem to make sense. V'ktani ashe elo yamim rishonim tiyufta. So the Gemara says, okay, without much discussion, the Gemara says Ula's position is refuted, and the halacha is, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that yamim rishonim, that the only time you have to bring karbanos is if there were days on the front end, and days on the back end. If there were days on the front end, then and only then do you have to bring karbanos when you are mitar yourself. Now the Gemara would like to pinpoint even further. Look, we say two. You know, two could be ad, or two could be ad v'ad bichlal. So what do we mean? Does it mean that you have to actually experience 2 days and you become tummy on the third day? Then and only then are you going to go through the tahara and bring karbanos, or no? Meaning you became tummy on day two, which means that you had a day one and part of day two, and then even Rabbi Eliezer would say that that's considered two, that's considered yamim, in which you would have to bring karbanos after the tahara. Lohava biyadei. So, and again, this speaks to the idea that we mentioned earlier, the Gemara is really like trying to pinpoint the position of Rabbi Eliezer, you know, giving the indication that, the Gemara doesn't say it, but gives the indication that this is the halacha. So lo havei biyadei, he didn't know the answer. Also shalal Rava, he went to ask Rava, amalei yipluksiv. And Rava's answer is yiplu. Now to be fair, even after having read Rava's answer, I mean, he doesn't answer the question super directly. He just simply says yiplu. Right, they will fall. Right, Tosfos understands this to mean that as long as you've gone through 2 days, you don't have to go into the third day. Because if I had the word yamim, I might have thought yamim means 2 full days. Although, to be fair, by the way, even in this explanation of the word yamim, it's not 2 full days, because that first day of Nazirus, we made this point earlier in the Masechta, that first day of Nazirus, he could have declared Nazirus at any point in time of the day, and everybody agrees that counts as day one.
So it'd be like 5 p.m. until 8 a.m.
Right, correct. So even in this havamina of yamim, it's 2 full days, it means the first day and a full second day as a havamina. So therefore, ad dinafkin trei violin tlasa kaz rachmani yiplu. So that's why the Torah says the word yiplu. Yiplu just simply means those days are going to fall. Meaning day one, in which he declared, and day two, whatever part of day two he observed. V'kaz of yiplu v'lo kaz of yamim havamina afilu chad. And if I had the word yiplu and I didn't have the word yamim, well, yiplu is not a measurement of time. So yiplu just simply means they will fall. You could have argued they means like the nazirim, but I didn't know it would be days. So therefore, kazer rachmani yamim. That's why the Torah has to go out of its way to teach us the word yamim. Okay, let's wrap it up. Let's summarize. We'll start the last mishnah. Hiloni Amalka, coming up tomorrow, and her 21 years of nazirus. Okay. Okay, come back tomorrow. But let's just quickly wrap up. So what do we see so far today? A four-way machlokus in terms of when a nazir becomes tameh and goes through the tahara process, when does he start counting his nazirus anew? So we had four opinions amongst the Tanayim, either day 7, day 8, day 8 after having brought the karban chatas, day 8 after having brought the karban chatas v'asham. Those are your four opinions amongst the Tanayim. A discussion in the Gemara regarding Pshat in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says he leaves the cemetery, comes back, don't take the Mishnah literally, so taught a Shmuel. And then a discussion in the Gemara, trying to fine-tune Rebbe Elazar's opinion, that you're so sir, that your Nazirus now has come to a halt. You have to be Matar yourself, and you have to bring Karbanos, but only if there are 2 days on the front end. So says Rabbi Eliezer. Ula tried to limit Rabbi Eliezer's halacha. Abaye ended up rejecting that limitation. It's true by any Nazir. Either he started Betuma or he becomes Tamei. And finally, the Gemara pinpoints Rabbi Eliezer Shita, that Rabbi Eliezer, when he says Yamim, it doesn't mean 2 days and he becomes Tamei on the third, but rather he becomes Tamei on day 2.